Shall we pray? Father, I thank you this morning for who you are. And thank you that you sent Jesus to heal us. I just pray that each of us would partake of your nature and of the gift that you've offered and the gift of redemption, and that you would change us and heal us. And be with us in the service this morning. And I pray that you bless each person here, each person who's listening. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen. Expecting that. Would you turn with me over to 1 John 2? Welcome to this part of the service today. It's good to have you all here. I want to thank you, teachers, students, yesterday for what you shared with us. That was delightful and just a real blessing for all of us. And I was thinking about young people, and I was thinking about what a blessing you are to our congregation. And, you know, I've talked fairly recently about some of the things that are especially in your wheelhouse and things that God wants to do and so on. But yesterday, once again, I was just impressed with that. And some of you got up front and talked about what you want to do with your lives. And I know for a fact that God wants to do great things in you and through you and by you. And we heard today in Sunday school about how that happens and how God dwells in us and what happens when that happens. And then I got home. I didn't actually look at the news last night. I looked at the news this morning and saw that yesterday, about 3:30 our time, while we were out here enjoying ourselves, having a good game of ball, enjoying each other, enjoying the blessings of being part of a community who loves each other and who loves to do things together. While we were doing that, there was an 18-year-old boy in New York who had driven several hours to find a black community. He got out of his car in body armor with an assault rifle, walked into a grocery store, and started shooting people. And while we were playing ball, 10 people died at his hands, 3 more wounded. They were a different skin color than he was. And his life was put on a trajectory such that he thought that the answer to the problems of America and the problems of his community we best answered by going and killing those people. And it's an absolute tragedy. And it struck me just what happens when people get it wrong. And we've got 18-year-olds here who are a blessing to your community. And God bless you for it. But the question that I have for us is, are we sharing the vision of God? What that young man did yesterday was an example, I think, of what happens when a person... I don't know his story. I have no idea what events led up to that moment yesterday when he stepped out of his car and started shooting his way into the store. But whatever happened to him that brought him to that point, it did not merit that response. And it's sort of the same old story, a story that we read over and over again. He was sort of radicalized online, and he found a group of people who agreed with him that that the white race is in danger of being crowded out of the conversation, and the answer is to take up arms and just this hatred and systemic hatred. And he found a group of people who all said the same thing, sort of normalized what he was thinking, and left him with the idea that the only logical conclusion is to do this. And I would like to contrast that with what God says about what he wants to do in the world, and specifically how he wants to do it through young people. And thinking of those of you who are now ready for a summer, school is over, and you're ready for summer. Some of you are not going to be coming back to school next year, and some of you have been out of school for a long time. But either way, God wants to do something with your summer, specifically. He wants to do something with us now. One of the things that is so true, I think, of young people is that they like big discussions, as in theoretical things. But what they really like is, what should we do right now? And sometimes what ends up happening is somebody picks up a gun and says, this is going to stop right now. I'm going to do this right now. But what happens when God has a young person's heart? And he puts something on their heart. And they say, okay, well, that must mean this, and I'm going to do something right now. What does that look like? So let's look at 1 John 2, verse 1, just for a devotional this morning. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it's the last time. And you've heard the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised you, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I'm not planning on doing a commentary on the entire scripture, but what was intriguing to me is how many times, what are some words that jump out at you in that scripture? Are there any words that especially strike you as repeating themselves over and over again? I've written unto you, and I write unto you. And why was he doing this? Because you're a horrible people and they need desperately to be changed? It's because they already know what to do and just encouraging us to do it. What other words come out?
Abide.
Abide over and over and over again. It says, abide in him. Abide in him. And if you abide in him, then he's going to work through you. And I like, you know, some of the imagery that he's using, I think, applies to all of us. Little children, how many of us are little children in the Lord? We're all little children in one real way. And yet he's talking sort of specifically, I think, to young people. He talks about young men being strong. And, you know, what went wrong in that young man's life yesterday? I don't know. But one of the questions I had to ask myself were, where was his dad? Where was his mom? What was that story like? And, you know, I think speaking to us as fathers and mothers and older people in the congregation, it may be easy for us to look at some of the things that we say, well, that troubles me, or maybe that troubles me. And maybe we're pointing fingers. But I would just challenge us, be careful to examine ourselves first. And if we as parents are failing in our own vision and our own passion for the Lord, if we are not abiding in him, if he is not in us, then what else can we expect? And I know I'm not saying that as in I'm going around always bemoaning the status of our young people, because I'm not. But I'm just saying that as we tend to point fingers at other people, we tend to neglect our own role in that sometimes. One of the things that is true of almost every kind of situation like yesterday's, whether you are a lone, angry 18-year-old or whether you are Adolf Hitler, is that there is a sense of grievance and a sense of victimhood in these people, a sense that somebody has done me wrong and I must do what I can to rectify the situation. And people who view themselves as victims are universally the cause of much pain if they internalize that, and if that's the way they proceed through life. And so young men and young women, remember that God wants to make you a conqueror, not a victim. And no matter what happens to you in life, the answer is not anger, is not bitterness, but the answer is to allow God to change you into a conqueror. And in verse 11, it says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Bitterness blinds us. Blinds us to our own weakness, blinds us to our own lack of understanding, blinds us to the goodness in other people. And it's something that will destroy us. As this young man's life has now been destroyed in many ways, I mean, God can redeem him, but there is, you know, in many ways his life as it was before is over. And not to mention the destruction that he's visited on families and communities by his actions. And bitterness blinds us to those things until suddenly we wake up and we realize, you know, what we have done. Or maybe some people never do. One of the things that young man made a mistake in is in looking to the wrong source material, to the wrong reference points to get his sense for what is right and what is appropriate and what he should do. And it's easy for us to choose the wrong reference points, because often, you know, what we'll do if we don't watch it, we'll simply go to somebody who shares our anger, who shares our bitterness, or whatever grievance we have, and we want to have somebody that can identify with the things that trouble me. And if we don't watch it, we don't allow God to do what he wants to do in us. which is take those tragedies, take those hurts, maybe take those wounds that somebody has given to us and redeem them and change them into a blessing for others, into a stepping stone for us. And when we look at the wrong source material, instead what we will get is vindication of our anger, vindication of our bitterness, and acceleration of that process. And what can we do instead? I would just encourage you, all of us, but maybe young people especially, since I'm thinking about you specifically, there is no replacement for the scripture in your life. I know a lot of you like to read. I like to read all different kinds of books. But there is no replacement for the scripture in your life. It's healing. It's informing. It's inspirational. And it's the source of wisdom that will help you go through life and come out in a good place. And there's also your parents. There's also godly peers. There's also role models. But look to the right source material if you want to be in a place where you are used of God, not used against him. Another question that people often struggle with is, who is the enemy? And life is a struggle. Conflict is part of the human condition. That's just life. But so many times, we get it confused about who is our enemy. And who is our enemy? The Bible says we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the darkness of this world. And if the enemy of our soul can distract us into thinking that we are in fact enemies, then he has won. When what Jesus has done is come to redeem those situations. And so let's allow God to focus us on what he can do to heal us, heal those things. One of the things that's, I think, incredibly helpful in these kinds of situations, thinking about this young man and thinking about how that contrasts with people who have gone through incredibly difficult things and yet have come out as conquerors and in whom God has worked the work that he wants to do. And I think one of those traits is gratefulness. It's impossible to be bitter and grateful at the same time. And gratefulness allows you to see the world from a stance of that allows for some objectivity. To be grateful for what you've been given. To be grateful for the gifts that you have. To be grateful for the people around you. And so there again, if you want to share the vision of God, stand with gratefulness. And God wants us to share his purposes. He wants to redeem us. He wants to change us. And that doesn't happen comfortably. It's not something that just happens automatically. If God is going to change you, it means you're going to have to leave some things behind. Some things that you were, you will have to not be anymore. Some things that you will become are things you're going to have to reach for. And so that means you're going to have to allow God to build you. And how does that happen? Well, it happens through the hard things, sure, and simply responding to them. But I would also encourage you to furnish your minds. Be intentional about furnishing your mind and furnishing your worldview to allow you to be in a place where you can be an impact for good. And once again, contrasting what this young man did, what does God want to do in your life and through you? This summer, this month, this week, this afternoon, what good word does he have to share through you? And how does he want you to build yourself? And then finally, and most importantly of all, if you are going to be a force for God in the world, if you are going to change the world, not in a horrific tragedy, but through the power of God, we must follow Jesus. And I know that sounds maybe nebulous. What does that mean to follow Jesus? Jesus gave us so many direct and grabbable ways in which that we can do that. Simply following him. As he treated others, treat others. As he responded to God, his Father, we respond to God, our Father. Follow him. Ask him to show you. Follow his example as you find it in Scripture. You cannot go wrong if you follow Jesus. Some of you are already involved in ministry efforts. For some of us, ministry seems like maybe it's a capital M. But I would encourage us, as we go through this day, through this week, and for you students who were students yesterday but are launching out into summer, through this summer, find ways in which you can minister to those around you, your family, your friends, your congregation, and anybody you meet, that when you leave the room, people who are left in the room are just a little happier, more blessed, touched by the Lord. A little more that way than when before you entered the room. And let's raise each other, lift each other, build each other, and encourage each other in the Lord. Shall we stand for prayer?